prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 15 March 2021. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're going to bring up a guest I haven't had on for a while because I want to offer hope to everybody out there listening to this broadcast. Now, I know we have listeners worldwide. I know we do. And I want to thank you for the emails I received from all over the world, from England and France and Australia and everywhere else. Thank you for the emails. And if you listen overseas and you do have a way of sending emails, please send me one. You can send it to Pastor Butch, startmail.com, Pastor Butch at start, like I just start a car, at startmail.com, or you can send it to my regular email address at CTDM. Those initials stand for Call to Decision Ministries. CTDM at hotmail.com. If you listen anywhere around the country and the world, send me an email. Let me know you listen. I'd appreciate that. I really would. It's encouraging. Let us know, reach out to people, and if we can touch your heart maybe and bless you with something or encourage you or maybe show you a way to Christ, well, that's what it's all about. We cover a lot of issues in this program. You all know that. We cover them all. We don't shy away from any of them. And that's the truth. I mean, we cover them all. But the main thrust of this program is always to try to get people to understand where our hope really lies. And folks, our nation, I know people don't want to hear this, and I can't help it, but our nation has crossed the line for salvation. I said the nation, not the people. The nation has crossed the line. Biden is a Psalms 106 curse on the church in America. Read it yourself in Psalms 106. The Lord God said, I'll put people to rule over you that hate you. And he has done that because the church quit being the church of this country long before I was born. So we're just reaping what we've sown as a body of Christ who has not taken a stand for the truth for so long. We've allowed them to murder nearly 100 million babies. We're now they're euthanizing our elderly. They're perverting our sons and daughters. They're doing everything in their power to destroy God's laws in this nation. And the church as a whole has become antinomian, lawless itself. They never did no longer teach the law. They teach grace. They teach rapture. They teach one saved, always saved. They don't teach the word of God. Not any longer. They don't stand against sin. They always want to preach the feel-good stuff. They don't want you to not come back to Bible study or church. They want you to come out and put your money in the plate, and we'll just go ahead and play church. They don't want to stand. They don't want confrontation. They don't want any kind of real conviction in the group because, I mean, somebody's going to stand up and make a difference in the world. And folks, that's what the church is here for. Read Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, the last few verses. We're to disciple the nations, teaching them the laws of God. We don't even teach the laws of God in church any longer. But anyway, that's not topic tonight. Topic tonight is going to be talking to David Arthur, was caught up in what the Bible describes as an abomination, the homosexual lifestyle. And that's a lifestyle is a bad word to use. That, but he's caught up in that, and by the grace of our Almighty God, and through the courage of other people to speak to him, he realized what he needed, and it was Jesus Christ. He was born again, spirit-filled, and now he's out into the world trying to make a difference in other men's lives who are caught up in the same situation. Well, I'm sure men, women, or boys, it makes a difference. He'll lead them all to Christ if they just listen to him. But before I go there, I want you to remember that we still have the 2-for-1 on for REM sleep and Tranquil. But we do offer this month only, while they're in stock, because we buy the next stock, I'm sure the price is going to be higher, the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. Beautiful book. Hard green cover, gold imprint. That's beautiful. But what's inside that matters. This man actually took the Bible and gave the definition of words. I used two books, two of the books I use 90% of the time when I'm studying, 95% of the time I'm studying, is the Strong's Concordance and the Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Why do I use those? Because I may want to know the original Greek meaning or Hebrew meaning of the word, and I want to know what the word actually means in English. You'd be surprised, folks, what words we change in our country. Obviously, one of them is the word gay. It doesn't mean what it's used for today at all. But nonetheless, we have that on. The regular price is $95. Right now, you can save, $15, $79.95, $80 will get you a Webster Dictionary delivered to your door. 1828. Talk about something excellent for homeschooling or for studying yourself, for Bible study. Folks, this is a necessary book. That's what I use. If you read the books I've written or read the articles I put online, you listen to the sermons I've taught, that's where I get the definition of words from. The 1828 Dictionary and the Strong's Concordance. So, if you want a copy of the dictionary, let us know what's on sale this month only. Let us know, we'll get it right to you. But tonight, we're going to have a man give his testimony of the amazing grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, of the love that's unbelievably beautiful and pure that he offers to mankind who deserves none of it. And David Arthur will tell you his story very briefly, then we're going to get into what he's trying to do now to help people caught up in the same mess he was in. And his heart is pure before God, trying to do what's right to reach other people. David Arthur, thank you for joining us tonight. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, Pastor Butch. And I have to say, hallelujah, I'm gay. And
amen.
everyone says, what? I said, well, yeah, Jesus made me gay, didn't you know? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I wasn't gay when I was a homosexual. I said, I'm gay now because I have Jesus, the source of all joy and happiness,
amen,
dwelling with him.
And, amen.
So, you know what? Quickly, my father took his life. I sought male affirmation, and sadly, men took advantage of that desire for male affirmation, and I was abused quite a few times. I identified as a girl trapped in a boy's body. I was what they call now transgender. We didn't have that term back then. It was just transsexual pre-op or post-op.
Can I ask you a question? I ask a quick question, and this may sound like a really obnoxious or ignorant question, but when you were seeking attention as a girl, and the man gave it to you, and even if what you call abused, is that what you really wanted? I mean, at that time, did you think that was the right way to go for them to use you that way?
Actually, it wasn't, but that was, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. It tends to be something that you just accept. I identified love as sexual activity by the time I was 7-8 years old.
So you were sexually active at 7-8 years old?
Yes.
Wow. You know,
yes,
I didn't know young people.
Recruited.
I didn't know young people that age could have full pleasure of at that age.
Well, you see, Pastor Butch, there's seeking male affirmation. They're seeking love and receiving something that is close and that you associate with love. And so if you, at that age, associate something with love, then that's what you'll see as love. You know, so when a child is molested, something gets turned on in their brain that should never be turned on until their marriage bed. But when it does get turned on, then they start identifying it with whatever it is they're seeking. So I was seeking love and affirmation. So that's what I associated that negative attention with.
You thought this was a positive.
Yes. I knew it was different because I would see the attention that the women in my life received from men. And it was a little more affectionate. And the attention that I received was a little more private and quick and
secretive.
Not as openly affectionate. Yes, very secretive. You know, so, but, you know, in a child's mind, which is why I don't understand us letting 8-year-olds decide their gender, because in a child's mind, they don't know whether to scratch their watch or wind their backside.
That's so true.
You know, so that's how I grew up. I grew up sexualized, which is what they're doing in the schools today, by the way, sexualizing children with the LGBT curriculum and the comprehensive sex education. But by the time I was 14 years old, I had already overdosed on pills. I ran away from home. I was greatly accepted by the LGBT movement at 14 on the streets of Philadelphia, which is where I started prostituting and doing more drugs and taking female hormones. And I was HIV positive at age 14. From 14 till I was in my 30s, I just lived the same life. It was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. I was a mess. I was a hot mess. And if it wasn't for one man in prison, he was a correctional officer, speaking a very offensive, uncomfortable truth when he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "My name is Paige." He said, "No, that's a girl's name. What's the name your mama gave you?" I said, "My name is David." He said, "Well, David, do you know God didn't create you to be this way?" And I was offended. I was hurt. I was angry. How dare he speak to me like that? However, it was that truth that eventually permeated and had me seeking this man out on the compound. And 'cause for the first time in my life, I knew there was a man that stood in front of me that didn't want to use me or abuse me. He just wanted to pour life into me.
Amen.
And so I looked for him, and I got to talk to him as much as I could, and he told me amazing stories. He didn't beat me in the head with the scripture or the Bible or a bullhorn. He just told me stories. He told me about the man named Saul and how Saul was sincere when he thought he was doing God's work and he was persecuting Christians, and how he was on his way to Damascus and that Jesus showed up and literally knocked him off his high horse, blinded him so he could see. And then he went from being sincerely wrong to being sincerely right when he became Paul. And that story always stuck with me. And I didn't get out of prison and become a man of God. Unfortunately, I had to hit the bottom of my barrel.
Let me ask you another question, Dave, because I know you are out there in the front lines in this issue. You're out there facing things that I would never even dream of. I'm sure you caught flack from both sides, the so-called Christian side and the homosexual side. But with what we're seeing in this country today, with the Biden administration, and H.R. 1 being before the people to turn the sexual deviance into more than lawful citizens, even they'll have more rights than we do. And we see transgenderism being really promoted now, and all manner of perversion. I've said, been saying for years that next on the list will be pedophilia. Are you seeing that come about?
Absolutely, and it's already there. It's always been there, and it's already
there.
It's
out in the open.
Yeah. And so the entire legal foundation that this last 15 years of the LGBT movement that they have laid has been being laid, because this is where it's going to go, Pastor Butch. If your 8-year-old child can choose their gender, then your 8-year-old child will be able to choose their sex partner regardless of their age. And that's where it's going to go. And so the pedophile movement is already rising up. They're marching in the parade, and they're not just NAMBLA anymore, North American Man Boy Love Association. Now they are MAPS, Minor Attracted Persons. And they're marching in the parade with the LGBT, holding up signs that say, "We recruit."
You see, that's a point. Folks, listen, they can't reproduce, they have to recruit. And they warned us of this in their own writings 50 years ago. This was one of their writings. They warned us they were going to do this. 50 years ago, they were telling us this is coming. No one wanted to believe it. But what kind of response do you have when you go into the churches or try to talk to other churches about, or Christians, or pastors especially? Hey, this is going on right now. What kind of response do you have?
Well, a lot of times when I try to tell them what's going on in the schools, when I try to talk about the pedophile movement or the pedophilia within that movement, the church wants to shut me down. They don't want to talk about it. See, my biggest hurdle, Pastor Butch, is the church. The LGBT community really loves me. I go to the parade and they want hugs. They want to take pictures. They want a book. And why? Because I represent hope to them, and they're a hopeless people. And so the real difficult part is, you know, I was just blessed to speak with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer this past Saturday in Pennsylvania, and we were talking, and you know, what it comes down to is there has to be a balance. So the balance is this. This is for all your listeners. How many of you go through the checkout line at Walmart or any store and you see the feminine boy with the blue hair and the black lipstick and the nail polish on, and how many of you either turn your head and don't say anything or smile and say, "God loves you. He has a plan for your life," and then walk away? And I'm asking that question because I want all your listeners to understand something. If that boy walked out of that store at that moment and he got hit by a bus, his blood is on your hands.
Good point.
You didn't say anything to him.
Good point.
Now, what if I say, David? Well, not everybody. Well, what do I say, David? Because I don't have a testimony like yours. You don't need a testimony like mine. All you need to do is say to the boy, "Hey, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that you could have the favor of God upon you? Do you know that God didn't create you to be that way? And so what if he don't want to talk to you? So what if he walks away from you? If you got to tell him, at least you told him. Because now, at least you did what you were told to do." However, now saying that, I want everybody to understand this. That boy is not only forgivable, he's in need of forgiveness. But guess what? You still better make sure he don't put on a ball gown and go read stories to your children in the library. There's
yes.
your balance. You
yes.
have to draw the line, and you have to say, "Listen, you folks, you are forgivable, and you are in need of forgiveness, but you cannot teach my children. You cannot read stories to my children. You cannot be teaching anybody's children." That's the line you have to draw, because if you don't, you are sacrificing your children to this movement.
Well, you know, you just said something right there that I know people don't want to hear, because I know people personally who think public schools are fine. And I don't care where, folks, I don't care if you live out in the remotest area in the United States and the school seems to be a one-room school with one teacher in three grades. The public school curriculum has been infiltrated enough to twist their minds. Now, I'm not saying they're bringing in homosexuals to read to them. I didn't say that. I didn't say the teacher up there pounding into the head by the LGBT. I'm not saying that either. But the school curriculum itself is corrupt.
That's right. You know what?
So that's how they got us here.
I want to tell your listeners about Johnny. So say Johnny knows that mommy and daddy love him very much. Johnny knows mommy and daddy would kill for him. Johnny knows mommy and daddy would die for him. Mommy and daddy say, Johnny, we're going to put you on this little yellow school bus and you're going to go to this building and you're going to receive an education. And Johnny comes home in 3 months and says, hey, mommy, did you know that great, 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 great grandpa was a monkey? And did you know that his great, great, great grandpa was pond scum? And mommy says, no, Johnny, sit down. We have to talk. You have a creator. You were created. You didn't evolve. That's a lie. And Johnny walks away and he says, well, if it's a lie, why'd they send me there to learn it? And then he comes home 3 months later and he says, hey, daddy, guess what? I'm going to convert to the wonderful, peaceful, loving religion of Islam. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to be Muslim. And daddy says, come on, Johnny, let's take a walk. And he says, Johnny, listen. Christianity is the only one true religion. Everything else is a separation of God. And let me take you in here and show you some books on what the Islamic terrorists have done to our nation. And so Johnny walks away and he says, well, gosh, you know, I'm learning what they send me to learn, but they're coming home and they're telling me it's wrong and I don't know what to believe anymore. And 6 months later, you guys go to church and you say, hey, everybody, we're having a barbecue after service. Why don't everybody come? And so here comes the deacons and the choir are there and auntie and grandmom's there and everybody's sitting down eating. And little Johnny says, this is my moment. And he stands up on the table and he says, hey, everybody, I need your attention. Please don't call me Johnny anymore. Call me JJ. I'm gender fluid and my preferred pronouns are they, them, ze, and zer. And everybody's not looking at Johnny. They're looking at mommy and daddy. And mommy and daddy both take Johnny for a walk this time. And they say, hey, Johnny, listen, you're a boy. You have a little, you know what, and that's what boys have. And if you say you're not a boy, you're calling God a liar, and you can't do that in this house. And guess what Johnny says? Pastor Butch, Johnny walks away, and he says, the hell with them. My teacher was right. I am smarter than my parents, and there is no God. So how many people are going to know that, hear that, understand that, and then put their little children on that little yellow school bus to hell tomorrow morning?
Very, very, very true. Very true. And that's really, folks, he's telling you the truth. And if it makes you all angry, I don't apologize for that. It shouldn't make you angry with what they're doing to your children. Whether you know it or not, your children are being brainwashed every day in what you call public school system. And talking about a public fool system, and not only is it making a fool out of your child, it's making a fool out of you and your children's eyes. Now, that's just the way it is.
That's right.
Any more comments on that, Dave? We'll move on.
And we can move on. Because, you know, I want to give everybody some hope. I want to represent some hope, right? Right about now, I want to drop some hope bomb on them. And it's called residue. It's called residue. You see, folks, I've been touched. I was touched in 2009 when I laid on my deathbed with full-blown AIDS, with infections in my brain and my blood and boils all over my body, with hospice in place and a hospital bed put in my room and them coming in and tending to me, and I was wasting away. And I picked up the word, and I called on his name. And I didn't have a pastor and a deacon anointing me with oil, nobody laying hands on me. I didn't have a praying grandma. It was just me and him. And the moment I realized that although my fleshly father took his life, so I thought of him as a coward, and although my friends' fathers, some of them abused me, so I had a really foul taste in my mouth when it came to what a father was. But the moment I realized that I had a father in heaven that loved me true and pure from the beginning to the end, right? His love is everlasting. The moment I realized that is when he touched me and he healed me and he rose me up. I had osteoporosis so bad I couldn't walk without a walker. He rose me up. He healed me. He touched my body. And guess what? Now every single breath I have belongs to him.
Amen.
And my life truly is not my own. And residue is what remains in our lives that we don't want to deal with it. It stands for remove every stronghold in depth, undo everything. And all those things that we keep hidden, keep those deep, dark secrets, those are the things that we have to speak. Because if we don't speak them and we keep them a secret, we give the enemy a foothold in our life. But when we speak them, we release the power they hold over us. And I have spoken all my junk. I've spoken all my garbage. It's done. It holds no more power over me. My life is not my own. I am free indeed. And I'm free indeed only for one mission. I'm not trying to build a ministry. I'm just trying to further the kingdom by tearing down an empire. And listen, folks, my heart is to see every single boy, girl, man, and woman that is trapped and deceived by this movement. Because the movement, listen, the movement is a dark, political, evil, wicked mass. That's what the movement is. And all of the people that are trapped in the movement, they're all victims of that movement. I was a victim of the movement. Your son, your daughter, your grandchild out there, they're victims of this movement. And if you want to see them free indeed, then I suggest you start standing up, speaking out, and just know, I'm hoping I can give you some hope here. There's going to be a place for them. You know, my life's work now, Pastor Butch, is just going to the parades and going out in the streets and going anywhere it takes to meet these individuals and just to establish intimate relationships with them. Because intimacy...
Hang on to the break. Don't lose that thought, please, okay? Hang on to the break. Folks, a lot more on your phone call next half hour. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com, or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
Folks, we're back here. We're talking to David Arthur. And this, we're going to have to give his website. He's going to give his website to you and information in a few minutes. But we'll listen to a testimony that's so powerful and so beautiful. Now, I've had the honor over my ministry in the last, gosh, going on over 40 years, to lead a few men to Christ who come out of this scheme of Satan to destroy their souls and their bodies and their minds, but very few. Unfortunately, a lot of them, in Romans chapter 1, tell them they're given over to reprobate mind, and unfortunately, a lot of them cross that line. But folks, there are some out there wanting to hear the truth. They're really not happy with what they're doing. They think they are because it pleases the flesh for a season. It pleases the people they're around. They won't please them to get along with them. But they're not really happy in this. They're the ones who are seeking the truth. And if all you can say is, hello, how you doing? Glad to meet you. If you had a chance to have a little conversation with them, or just say, good morning. And let them see Christ in you. Let them know, and let them know that God loves you, and He wants to make a difference. You know, I got to say this, Arthur, David, move on. When I go to a restaurant, where it's a male or female waiter, waitress, whatever, I like to strike up conversation with them. And you'd be surprised. I would say 95% of them love to take a minute to talk to us, because no one ever asks them, hey, how you doing, where you from, how long you worked here. They just take the order and leave. Some of these people won't treat that. They'll tell you stories that you would think that you would just tell, you know, a priest somewhere or something. Or not, you know, I'm a preacher, of course, but they don't know that. But they'll tell things, and they'll end up asking me questions. It's not because I'm some kind of goody two-shoes. I'm not. I'm just Butch Paul. But I pray they sense Christ in me, and that I really care for them. If you show them that you sincerely care, most of them will respond to you, whether or not.
That's right.
So you were telling about how you come out of this mess by confession before God Almighty. How long did it take you, I'm going to say, no, it didn't take you but a few minutes, a few seconds to repent, but how long did it take you to confess the sins that you knew you've done?
I spent weeks on my deathbed repenting and pouring it all out. And I noticed that as I spoke these things, I could feel the pressure lift off of me. And I say, you know what, there's something to this. There's definitely something to this. And so when the Lord used me to pen the Residue Guy, a book, we definitely touched on transparency. You know, like, we're not transparent just for us. Our transparency could possibly be the key that unlocks somebody else's cell door. When I stand up before a room full of people and I talk about all of the heinous things I've done, some of them are very uncomfortable, but a lot of them are sitting there shaking their head because guess what? Now they want to raise their hand and get up and say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
Yes, yes.
And that's what it's all about. It's about getting rid of all that stuff so that the enemy no longer has a foothold in our life. And, you know, it's what a lot of us don't understand. Like, you know, right now, I'm I'm traveling all around this world driving. I'm not traveling. I'm driving all around this country, and I'm going to the church, and the church seems to be my biggest hurdle these days.
How are you received? How are you received normally at most churches? How do they receive you when you go in and say, "Hey, I have a testimony I want to share"? How are you received?
The majority won't have me, sadly.
What's their reason? Their excuse?
Well, they don't. Their excuse is it's not time. We're not ready for that, or. We'll have to look at the schedule, and then the board will have to meet, and, you know, it's all the legalities of a business, and it's okay, because it makes it that much better when a pastor in a church does have me come in and does want to put themselves out there like that, because they don't want to rob their congregation of hope any longer. And, you know, every time I've spoken, every single time, Pastor Butch, somebody has come up to me and says, at least one person has come up to me and said, "You just gave me hope. I stopped praying for my granddaughter because I thought she was too far gone, or I stopped praying for my brother because I thought he was born that way, so it's okay." He says, "And now you gave me hope. I'm going home to start praying for them." And I know mission accomplished. So that's all I want to do, is just offer hope, right? But what I really want right now is a place, is a home for these individuals to come into. I've seen a lot slip through the cracks, and I'm tired of seeing them slip through the cracks. And so we're putting a home together. Actually it's going to be more than one home. And why are we putting a home together? Because a home is a place, a safe place where people can go and learn and be discipled. The church is lacking discipleship, and the addicts of all sorts have to be removed from their current environment, and they have to be removed from the peer pressure that surrounds them.
You know, that's a key point. Folks, if people come to Christ and just born again, brand new born again children, babies in Christ, and they go back in the same environment, the wolves are going to kill them. That's just the way
it is. Right.
David's trying to find a place to take him, to nurture him and mature them into manhood and womanhood, perhaps, and give them the ammunition and the truth to go back out and witness other. Go ahead, David.
You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that sexual perversion and homosexuality, including transgenderism, is just as much an addiction as heroin. It's just as much an addiction as gambling and lying and adultery.
Booze and drugs and, yeah, you know, I never thought about that. I guess sin itself is addiction, but you're right. That's probably stronger than others, yes.
You know, and so one thing I always try to make people understand is that it's deception that is unlike any other sin. It's unlike any other stronghold or addiction. And so I'm not saying that it's worse than or not as bad as. What I'm saying is sin is sin. You're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. But homosexuality is an identity crisis that once you put it on, it determines every aspect of your life, every single aspect of your life. When I put on the homosexual transgender identity, I threw a line in the sand, and in my mind, there was nothing for me beyond that line. So I couldn't have possibly been attracted to that woman because I was a homosexual. That's not an option for me. And so this is the thing that happens with a lot of people, especially young people. They get into this identity, and it determines their friends. It determines where they live. It determines their politics. It determines where they go what businesses they'll shop at. It determines their emotions. It determines every aspect of their life. And so when somebody comes up and says to a drug addict, "Hey, doing drugs is wrong," they say, "I know, it made me rob my mom." And they say, "Hey, you alcoholic, drinking is bad. I know, my liver is deteriorating." But when you go up and say homosexuality is a sin to a homosexual, you're not just attacking their sin, you're attacking their very identity. And with the rate and the acceptance and tolerance, along with all of our cultural and legal societal legalities, there has to be a place for those who are seeking freedom from this perversion. Because if they're not seeking freedom, then it's not for them. Right? And it
That's
has
true.
To be a place to learn. It has to be a place for them to learn what true intimacy is and how transparency can benefit not just them, but many people around them. They need a place to go where they can discover their true identity in Jesus the Christ. And
you know,
that's what it's about.
Go ahead. Folks, get a pen and paper handy. We're going to give you an address in a minute. You'll find out why in a second. Get a pen and paper handy. But you know, if there's one shred of conscience left in these individuals, then there's hope, folks. If they're not reprobate yet, there's hope. And you don't know. You don't know who it is. You don't know who's reprobate and who isn't. That's not our call. Our call is to be a witness. To be a witness. And to tell them about God's love as much as possible. You can't always do it in a two-word sentence. But you can show them the love of God in your heart if it shows through you. That's the truth. And folks, this sin is worthy of death. That's scriptural. That's all I can say. But God Almighty can forgive that sin. No matter what the outcome is here on earth for that individual as far as earthly judgment, their soul can be born again and eternally with Christ. That's the kind of God we serve. Now tell us about the home. You're trying to put a home together where these people can come out from among their peers and come with among like-minded individuals that are struggling with the same situation and trying to grow in Christ. Tell us about that home and what you have in mind.
Yeah. So in the home, we're going to focus on discipleship, of course, because, you know, we have one commission. One commission is twofold, evangelize, disciple. And so the church has slacked up on discipleship, which is why we've lost so much power. So we're going to focus on discipleship. We're also going to be getting these guys out and doing three-day outreach ministries in different communities where we go out into the streets on a Friday night and we just meet and greet transgender and homosexual prostitutes and drug addicts, club goers. And then on Saturday, day two, we get with them. We take them out of their comfort zone. We take them out to eat. We take them to a museum or to a park. And we just get to know them better. And we pray with them and for them and over them. And then on day three, we introduce them to a local ministry that stands firm in the truth. We take them to meet their family. And then their family holds them accountable and disciples them while learning how to go out in their own streets and do the same thing we did with that individual. And so we're also going to be having some weekly or biweekly online meetings with these guys in the home for parents, friends, and family and loved of those who are seeking answers and they want to know, what can I do? What can I do? And so we're going to have these open online forums and some open public forums as well for anybody and everybody to come to and ask those hard questions and hear these powerful testimonies. We're also going to be doing a lot of community work. The guys will be learning trades. The guys will also be starting their own podcasts and their own live stream shows and you know, just encouraging, edifying, giving hope where it really belongs. So, you know, that's the idea. It's going to be a safe place. It's going to be an intimate place. It's going to be God's place. It's going to be a place where these men can come and discover their true identity in Jesus the Christ.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now the harvest is truly plenteous and the laborers are few. What kind of response do you have when you go out into the streets and the parades or even the street corners and test and witness these people? What kind of response do you have? What percentage would you say even gives you the time of day, so to speak?
Well, let's say out of every 100 people I speak to, let's say 75 give me the time of day. 40 to 50 will even take a book and a track from me, and 25 will give me their phone number and exchange their contact information with me.
Wow.
25%
of them. 25% of them. Wow, that's phenomenal. That's great.
Yeah. I have a lot of contacts. I'm in, and you know why? Because I'm real with them, and I tell them what I'm up to from the very beginning. See, they're so used to people having agendas and them not knowing until it's too late, till they're hurt. And so I tell them from the door, I say, hey, listen, I don't want to be your friend. And they say, huh? I say, I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your brother. I'm going to befriend you with the intentions of becoming your brother. And if for one moment I truly believe that being your brother is not an option, I will wash my hands of you and be done and move on, because there's somebody else out there that needs a brother. And that one statement makes them dig their talons deeper into me, and they hold on because they don't want to lose a real friendship. And I look at them and I tell them, look, you are not a project, because people are not projects. You're not a project of mine. I want to establish an intimate relationship with you so that I can show you through my words, my deeds, and my actions who Jesus the Christ is. I don't have to read the scripture to you. The scripture tells me that the natural man receives not things of the spirit, that is foolishness to him. So I'm not going to try to feed you spiritually until you come to that moment where you say, okay, I want to surrender. Then you can be fed spiritually. But until then, I'm going to feed you naturally.
And are you making any progress towards this home? Are you gaining ground on this?
We are making some progress. I just went to North Carolina and went through West Virginia and went to Ohio and just went to Pennsylvania. And we have a lot of support. We could always use a lot more. But what we do have is a foundation and leadership in Ohio and in North Carolina. So those two places will see the first two homes.
Well, what's your greatest need right now besides people praying for you, maybe offering their assistance? What's your greatest need? Would it be to raise some funds to get this thing started?
Yeah, our greatest need right now is just for financial support. Of course, you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of intercession. If people are local to wherever one of these homes might pop up, then, yeah, we would want their time and their effort. But in the meantime, I can just encourage everybody to say, listen, that everything that is given goes directly to furthering the kingdom. I'm not trying to build a ministry. The only thing we focus on is tearing down an empire that the enemy has already built.
Amen.
That furthers the kingdom.
How can people contact you to help out?
Well, they can go to our website. It's ibelongamen.com. Just like it sounds, ibelongamen, all one word, .com. And they can click on contact me. They can click on donate. They can also go to the video page. They can, on the front page, they can see my live stream Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., Tuesday night at 7 p.m. They can see videos. They can do quite a few things. They can contact me. They can check out our blog.
Well, now, a lot of folks don't have computers. A lot of folks don't have computers. And do you have an address they can write to or a number they can call that you might want to give out?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they wanted to write us, they could write us at IBA, like I Belong, Amen, IBA Ministries, P.O. Box 172, and that's in Hancock, Maine, HANCOCKME 04640.
Do that again.
IBA Ministries at P.O. Box 172, Hancock, Maine, that's HANCOCK, comma, ME 04640.
And make the checks out to IBA?
Yes.
All right, folks, it's IBA Ministries, P.O. Box 172, Hancock, Maine, ME 04640. And if you missed that, you call us in the office, or call Lisa, we'll have it to her by tomorrow. She'll have the address available. If you can do anything to help this gentleman get these things, this home started, it's a step, huge step in the right direction. Because we know some people do care. They want out of this so-called lifestyle. They truly do. And that all we can do is offer. Let's take a phone call or two. Let's go to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
Now, your wife's having a problem because the church has been Judaized. That's why.
Well, if the church has become cold and callous, period. That's the sad part. The church has lost her first love, and the love of Christ compels us to go out and do these things.
But they've been taken over by the fallen angels of these so-called Judaizers, is all promise. Because it's part of the 10-place Congress Manifesto and the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. That's the main problem.
Well, I have no doubt that's true. Deception, and the church, again, the church has lost her love, and that's a main thing to destroy the church. She's lost her conviction, Mick. We no longer teach the laws of God in righteousness. The church teaches grace to the point it's taking them to hell. You know, they don't teach but sin and righteousness any longer. They teach grace. That's all they want to hear.
They teach the perverted version of the Bible.
That's very
all
true.
They do.
That's very true. All right, good call, Mick. Anything else?
Sure enough.
All right. Let's go next to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in.
Hi, Pastor. Real quick.
Yes.
Everyone needs to go to standeo.com and watch under health called Vaccine Disaster, Testimony of Vax Expert Garrett Vander Goshi. This guy is one of the top vaccine creators in the world. This is the go-to guy. Anybody's got a question, they would call him and ask him. And what he has to say about what this vaccine is doing to people is if this doesn't stop the vaccines, people who don't want to listen to God and do what God tells them to do, if that doesn't do it, nothing will.
Okay.
It's killing
me.
I have a question for this gentleman.
Yes.
You said that when you were 5 or 6, but you're also talking about when they want to be part of something. They want to be part of a group, which is really how Elvis starts. That's when Satan comes in and says, come be a part of my group, while the people of God are standing around going, oh, well, these kids are okay, you know. They're just playing. Nothing's going on. They turn a blind eye. But that's how Satan gets you. But I found that with drug addicts and with other addictions, former drug addicts and former addicts altogether have a better possibility of connecting with these people than anyone else does. So do you have former, like yourselves, people have saw the light and have come to God's way of thinking? Do you have those people ready to help you with your houses?
That's actually my leadership. We don't have textbook text. We don't have, you know, we don't have anybody graduating from psych school to come in. It's all people who have lived it and been through it. The man who will be the overseer for our first home had a sex change operation 22 years ago and has lived as a woman for 25 years, and now he is living as the man that God created him to be. And absolutely. It's the ones that can speak life into them the most, because not only, but the most, are those who know exactly what they're going through.
Exactly.
Amen.
Jesus says that they don't know about Jesus, so they can't help. And then how much flack have you been getting because of all this new, you know, let them do their own thing and do what they want to, even though they're only little, or even if they're as an adult, if you say anything to them, then you're the racist or you're just a bad person. How much flack have you been getting from the authorities? Have you got a lot of flack from them?
Well, my flack only comes from the authorities and from the church. From those who are in need, I don't get any flack from them. That's all that matters.
You haven't had anybody that wants to keep them as part of their cult or group say, hey, get out of here or else something's going to happen to you or threats or anything like that?
I've been free for 11 years. I've gotten death threats. I've gotten all kinds of things. I've gotten hate mail. I've gotten all kinds of nonsense. I've been attacked. But encourages me. Amen. And it encourages me because it lets me know that I'm upsetting the enemy a little bit more.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Well, we'll pray to keep you safe and that everything goes well with your houses.
Well, thank you very much, sister. You bless the day. God bless you.
All right. Good call. Thank you, Jan. And folks, lines open at 844-769-2944. 3 minutes left. David, as always, it's been a wonderful, wonderful time being with you, and your testimony has been beautiful, and I'm sure it's touching people. You may never know them on this earth, but it's touching somebody. I know it is. What do you want to share in closing?
What do I want to share in closing? I think that what the church needs to do is the church needs to come out from the comfort of their four walls. And they need to get out, and they need to start establishing relationships with those who don't dress like them, look like them, act like them, go to church with them, or go to church at all. And they need to start making these relationships last and knowing that people aren't projects. And that's what I think the church needs to do. And I think that would be a lot more productive than sitting back and just trying to pray the gay away. Because, listen, the only way for anyone's darkness to be removed from them is through Jesus the Christ. So Amen. Why don't the church, where he dwells, why don't the church get out and start introducing people to Jesus the Christ through their words, deeds, and actions instead of hiding and taking on this I'm not going to offend anyone mantra? Because up to now, the only two mantras of the church have been turn or burn or born Amen. That way, so it's okay.
Hey, David, God bless, my friend. Folks, if you missed the address, call tomorrow, you'll get it. Dave will talk to you down the road somewhere. If you're down passing our way, can you let us know, okay?
I certainly will.
God bless, my friend. Folks, we're back tomorrow night with DB Kidd. See you there. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.